The fewer calls you do, the more money you make on each one. The seduction of potential of the next opportunity is the thing that kills this opportunity. The difference between people who win and lose is the time.
It's scary because people don't believe that there's a way to increase referrals. Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Plumbing and HVAC Hustle Podcast. And today I've got Joe Casera on from Service MVP. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing amazing, Tim. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very good. We're talking about my least favorite topic, I guess. When leads are down, if leads are down, how can we switch kind of to focus on how to increase our average ticket? Because a lot of people are experiencing that right now. And we got a question from the audience to kick it off. What's your opinion on the market shift and why many HVAC companies are seeing a 30 to 38% drop in business and some are growing?
Well, the truth is, Tim, all the companies that are growing are doing less calls than they were doing before when they were struggling. So the companies that struggle do more calls and they burn through more calls and they don't do as much revenue on the calls they have. So you gotta remember, there's a good thing. The good thing about being busy is we have a lot of opportunity. The bad thing about being busy, too busy, is that we can't pay attention to the details and we keep flying on one call to the next, piling up possible liabilities that create callbacks, insurance claims, utilize more gasoline being burnt, the trucks are being burnt out, and the technicians get burnt out. That's the bad part about being busy. There's only one good thing about being busy is how many opportunities. Now, when we're slow and we only have like one call for each tech, we have more opportunity. We have the opportunity to diagnose the entire system, take time for that. We have an opportunity to connect with our client better. We have the opportunity to make the prices, maybe prices for repair and replacement now. We could do two sets of option sheets. And then we have the opportunity to help manage the project and bring it to a conclusion and actually get the work done today. So the slower it is, the companies that are growing, Tim, have always recognized that the fewer calls you do, the more money you make on each one. Make sense? So the idea is not to run after more calls. The idea is to drive to a house, make a friend with the client, diagnose the system, make options for repairs, make options for replacement, and then get the client to choose which one they want. And then whichever one they want, we're going to do it now. We're not going to do it tomorrow or next day or next week. We're doing it right now because we're slow. We have plenty of inventory of opportunity to complete the job. And so the companies that have always grown, who outperform the weaker companies who are dying, the weak companies are companies that chase marketing opportunities to try to jam up the schedule with more calls. The companies that are succeeding don't care how many calls we get. They do have to have calls on the schedule, but let me put it this way. If you got 10,000 clients, you can always get a call on the schedule by just doing a service agreement or something like that, right? Or marketing to your own customers if you have your own customers. That's really the sweet spot anyway. So the idea would be this. If you slow down and do fewer calls, the average opportunity for repair calls on HVAC would be about $1,800 to $200 or $2,000 a call. If you did the maintenance calls and was slow, you only had one on the schedule, the average maintenance call would be about $1,200 to $1,400. If you did equipment replacement, it would be anywhere between $28,000 to $30,000 because we have more time to attend to the project. If we're trying to just sell boxes like five or six installs a day with two installers, you're going to wind up selling smaller jobs that are about $8,000 to $9,000. That's the key thing. So imagine this, Tim. Imagine that a business was in business to make money, not do more calls. In the history of heating, cooling, plumbing, electrical, roofing, or anything, there's never been a badge of honor given out for doing more calls. You can't deposit that in the bank. What you can deposit in the bank is dollars that come from expanding the current opportunity to be as big as it can to serve the current client we're at, rather than trying to chase other clients while we're on this call. That's the biggest, the seduction of potential of the next opportunity is the thing that kills this opportunity.
That's really good. So I was
Course
kind
it
of
is.
curious, with you, around the what is a key lever that you focus on when getting started with a new coaching client? Like, I know that as a coach, as a consultant, or any kind of business services, there's this we have this pressure to very quickly come up with something that can increase revenue. So what is something that is a key lever that you focus on early to try to help people increase revenue quick?
Well, all due respect to internet marketing people, a lot of times you hire an internet marketing company and they say, well, hang on, give it 4 months or give it 6 months. We have to get our SEO in order and all that kind of stuff, right? So in my business, I don't have that luxury. If you hire me, the sales better improve like the next day. It doesn't take 4 months to make that happen, right? So that lever you're talking about, it has to be there. If it's not, nobody would ever hire Joe Crisera. And if you look at all the reviews on Service MVP, every single one is 5 stars. If you look at the book, it's 5 stars. Why? Because we are undefeated in creating high value. Now, I'll give you the lever. Here it is. The lever is this: the difference between people who win and lose is the time. It's not the investment in money in my company. Like you could say, oh my God, Service MVP, it costs a lot of money to hire Joe Crisera. It costs a lot of money to go to the coaching. It costs a lot of money to go to the live events. Well, let me just put it this way. It doesn't cost a lot of money to get a free video that we give you on the internet, or $19 Audible you can get on our book, What Should We Do, right? It doesn't cost a lot of money for that. But here's the key thing. The leverage of time it takes to do the training, that's what we need. We need somebody who says we're gonna block out an hour. We're gonna go through how do you make a friend? How do you make the options? How do you make the options personalized and customized like they're for a friend? And then how do you bring it to a conclusion? How do you get a yes, no, another appointment? If you learn that in just 1 hour, the average company will immediately increase the sales and revenue by 78%. If you blocked out 1 hour a day for 30 days, you would increase your sales by 273%. So almost 3 times the amount of sales just by blocking out 1 hour a day to make sure that you're doing the training consistently. And more importantly, graduating people. Because if you don't graduate and test people on it, they're not going to use the material. That's really it. But the time, it's blocking out that time. Most people are just too busy to block out that they say they're too busy, but what are you doing? You're probably out there doing free calls or callbacks or delivering filters. Who knows what they're doing? But people always try to find something that they're busy at doing. And I always say something like, I'm really busy, but I always say, well, are you making money? If the answer is probably no, people who are too busy probably are not making money. They're ch out there chasing dollars. The people who are rich, like Dave Geiger from Horizon Services, the guy Leland who owns Service Champions, Ishmael, they're out there driving in their car. They're relaxing. They're taking it easy. They're not working as hard. Why? Because they have their people who are trained to operate for them. They don't. Tommy Mello can't go out and do podcasts and social media events and all. He was at Las Vegas Stadium doing the Tommy Mello t-shirts on the back of the Kings at the what's that, the Las Vegas hockey team. He was out there. He wouldn't have time for all that if he didn't have his people trained. His company is not a garage door company. It's a training organization, and they take time every single morning to do a huddle. They take time every single day to do training. You don't start your day without getting trained at that company.
So to kind of just get back a little bit to this leads are down, how to increase average ticket conversation. Would you agree leads are down?
Not for everybody. What I've
Okay.
noticed
Well,
over the years of doing this,
you said you've gotten
well,
so.
listen, I've been doing this for a long time, right? So I noticed that when I here's what I can tell you a couple of truths. When I had my company, when I sold my company, leads were down when I sold my company. When I sold the company I sold it to, I went to go visit their place the day we sold it, and we had like 17 calls on the board. They had 75 calls on the board, right? So I disagree that the opportunities are down. I agree though that some people are losing opportunities to the market of people who perform on a better basis. So you're either winning or you're losing. There's no such thing as the whole thing being down. Because I'll tell you this right now, Tim. In every market, like you guys are in Minnesota there are probably five or six companies that have over 200 calls on their scheduling board right now today. Even on a spring day where it's like 60 degrees or whatever it is up there, there's probably four or five companies that have 200 calls a day. And there's a lot of other companies, probably 100 companies, that got two calls on a board today. Does that make sense? So I disagree that the calls are down in general. I think that's a myth that people share just to make themselves feel better. That's what I really think
I
that is.
feel like I just sense from animal spirits. I don't have like Joe, I'll just be as transparent as I possibly can. I have six HVAC clients right now. Six. I'm not like swimming in HVAC clients. I have 70 roofers. I'm growing this market, but so I don't have a ton of data. But I just like as I look out on the internet and talk to various home service businesses, I do a lot of content with people right now. So I'm getting the sense from people though that the average company has like some trepidation here. So we got some fear. We've got that market fear that like investors call it animal spirits. The animal spirits are a little spooked.
Yeah, I get it.
Investing in your business, but also just like lead flow and stuff like that. So for those of few folks out there that do have some fear and want to increase their average ticket, where would you recommend they spend their time to do that? If you don't mind going through a little checklist of like things you'd be diagnosing to help them try to increase that.
Well, number one, I think when you work with it, if you're in the HVAC business or plumbing, especially the HVAC business, if you want to talk about that, then I would say the number one place to market to is your own customers. So trying to go on a 65 degree day in Minnesota to get more people on the schedule today, probably not going to work. No matter what kind of ad you, even if you said we'd do something for free, everybody would say we're good. It's not just. We're comfortable. It's 70 degrees in our house and it's 70 degrees outside. What do I need? I don't need anything right now, right? But the day it turns 98 degrees in Minnesota or 85 degrees in Minnesota and it's humid from those lakes and everything like that, then all of a sudden people are they're wanting it. So to market when there's no demand, the only way to do that is to market to your own clients. To me, that's the only way you're going to get people on the schedule from that thing there, right? So I think that now, go ahead.
A lot of the people, the higher end HVAC companies seem to be, they're using things like Chirp or automation or things to kind of like rehash and get in front of people. Those things seem to be working for them. It's really just the look at our current customer list and try to reach out to them, essentially, is the principle. So it seems like it's very in line with what I'm seeing people that are doing better seem to be doing. So I like that.
Well, you have to have multiple. There's really three different things. One, do what you're talking about that you're trying to do, which is increase the top line by getting new clients to flood into the company. That's needed. Marketing to your own customers is needed. And also making a presence in the community to represent the brand. So you have, like, say, I had a top 100 referral partnership, which I meant that I tried to find 100 businesses that we used, the pizza place, our lawyer, my chiropractor, and said, hey, let me hand out some coupons for you. Here's some coupons that we have. Can we work together as a referral partner? And we did. So I would say you need to make outreach. The third part of it is just good old-fashioned referrals that you need to get from people that believe in you and you believe in them. And that's an element that I think most people miss. They like, you have a church? Why are you not in the bulletin? Why are you not in their bulletin? You live in a neighborhood, a homeowners association? Why are you not in the newsletter? Make sense? Those are things that are relationship businesses that called the top 100, I call it. If you don't have that, then you're standing on a, you're not a, not on a, that's a concrete foundation that the community supports you. Does that make sense, Tim? That even when you have a bad day with your marketing or a bad day getting hold of your own customers, the community, the pizza place refers five or six people to you because they believe in you in a way. Does that make sense? I don't think people put enough time into that element of it. They try to throw money at marketing companies or throw money at try to throw a Chirp ads at their current clients, which is good. But when that dries up, you better have a foundation where people believe in you and they just call you directly and say, "Hey, Joe, can you come over and look at this project we got? We need to put a new system in." And next thing you know, you're putting in an $80,000 system. That just is needed. Make sense?
Hey there, are you a home service business owner that's tired of your answering service just kicking the can down the road? Well, we can help. Pink Callers will assign a dedicated, supported, and trained individual to answer your phones, emails, texts, and even more. Give us a call at 888-325-7465, or better yet, check us out online, www.pinkcallers.com.
Yes, sir. I have current customers coming to me sometimes, and they're always like, you know, we're doing our thing. They're happy with us. It's been a year or two. We're working with them. They're continuing. They're excited to continue working with us. But they're always, I get people coming to me and be like, well, what else? You know what I mean? Like, there's always that what else with marketing. And you do need to, I always think layer, don't replace with new marketing tactics, because that's the shiny object syndrome that we all get into sometimes with our own marketing. And the one that I keep on pushing on now, last year I had different ones like, you should do this, you should do that. But it's just referrals, man. Anything. And it's scary because people don't believe that there's a way to increase referrals.
Well, there was a study. There was a study that was done by Google. Listen to this, Tim. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you ask a client, well, let's think about this. If you came here to Los Angeles and you were looking for a restaurant, it would be a daunting task because there's thousands of restaurants. But if you said, "Hey, Joe, what's a good Mexican restaurant to go to?" and I referred you, and I said, "You know, go to Casamigos over here. It's right here in Culver City. It's one of the best places." And you say, "Let me look it up." And what would you do? You'd Google it, right? And then, you know, later on when you make a reservation, how did you hear about us? Google. It comes right there. So you're saying it's Google, but what was the real way that, you know, so Google did a study. 84% of people that Google things did so because they were referred by the person to do that. Hey, just Google Casamigos and you go to this restaurant. It's really great, Tim. Hey, meet on, everybody comes to this. I hate to even say this out loud because I don't want people to crowd the restaurant, but meet MEAT on Ocean in Santa Monica, the best charcuterie. So, which is, you know, everybody loves charcuterie. So if you look it up, Google it, you'd be like, oh, damn, I'm going to go there to meet on Ocean. And I guarantee you, if you said, how'd you hear about it? She said, I Googled you. But truthfully, it wasn't a Google. It was Joe Crisera on a podcast that told you to go there. It was a referral. Makes sense? So I think that people underrate the referral. Even when you get a Google response or you get something on social media, it was because somebody told them to go there and look at it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I like to imagine that we will accidentally flood them with visitors trying to get the charcuterie. That's just the way I like to, you know.
We probably just did. We probably just got about 8 people to go there tonight. We don't even know. But you know what? It was like, yeah, it's a good, Joe said it's good. It's got to be good, right? So the bottom line is that if I say to Google it, like, you're not going to find it just by coming here and then looking on the streets. You're going to have to Google it. And then that's how it came through. Like, oh, they got us online. And it was our SEO. Truthfully, it wasn't the SEO. The SEO, it does need to be there, right? So if I do say Google that name, the SEO better catch what I'm Googling to bring me to that restaurant and online. But most of the time, I think people miss that the community stuff. That's why I'm telling you that element of your church, your VFW post, doing charitable, I call charity marketing, right? For your community in a way, giving something to your community makes people tell them to Google you. That's the reason why you get better SEO, I feel. That's just my number one thing. I think the biggest vast majority of people who do search SEO do so because somebody recommended or mentioned their name just at a party or something like that. They overheard somebody at a party talking about how Thielen Services just installed my equipment or whatnot type of a thing. Makes sense? That's one of your clients, right? One of our co-clients we have. Yeah.
Yes, sir. People, I think, okay, good service is what increases referrals. Like, we think about like customer lifetime value, but then additionally, if that customer is referring people, but it's not just great service that makes people refer, it's being remarkable, something remarkable, right? And it's like,
you're talking about charity marketing. It's surprisingly great service. It's not just good service, it's wow service. And nobody typifies that more than Tim Hook or Tim Brown, whatever you like to call yourself lately, whatever the name is. Basically, nobody typifies that more than you. You show up on the scene, you say, I'm not gonna ask permission. I'm gonna start featuring people in the HVAC business and showing them. I want to learn from them. I want to be a student of them. I'm gonna film them. I'm gonna put it. You're doing a service before reaching out to do that stuff for people before you are asked to do it. And of course, it creates an obligation. Like, I'm here only. I wouldn't give you the time of day if you didn't do something for me first, right? You film me. You blew sunshine up my rear end about how great I am, and put my book information out there. I mean, you've done so much for me, Tim. I owe you something. The least I
Hey.
could do is spend hours on a podcast so you can break it up and chop it into pieces on reels and stuff like that, so we could do it together. That's the least I could do for you to repay you. So it makes sense. But that's the reason why it works. The reason why it works is because you did something, you took an action, you had a leap of faith, thinking that the law of obligation will return, and here it is, we returned. Make sense?
Yeah, and I'll throw this up. We'll wrap up this like blowing smoke up each other's butt in a second here, but one more minute if you'll allow us. There's also I just want to associate with great companies. Like this is that's what I'm doing. I'm not even trying to obligate you to me. I'm trying to play the law of association, 'cause when you get around people that have authority and I'm next to you, there's the law. This now we're just being too honest. It's the law of
Well,
transfer.
that's the thing about the law of obligation only works when you're not trying to get something from other people. Does that make sense? Like, to do something for other people without the expectation of return is the key to law of obligation working. So if you're working with your church, you can't sit there and count the dollars that come in from the church. You're just doing it because you love your church. You're doing it because you love the VFW hall. You're doing it because you love your community and at HOA, you love those people. If you don't love those people, they're not going to feel that love in a way. Does that make sense? So wow service, like the surprisingly wow service, has got to be doing more than people. That's why I got to that point. That's why I got to you, because you're doing more than anybody would have expected to burst onto the scene. So you're a great example of somebody who burst on the scene because you didn't wait for things to come to you. You did more for other people that wowed them. Like, wow, look at that film the guy took of my book. Wow, look at him talk about this event that I'm going to be speaking at. Wow, he's always got something. You're the reason why eyeballs are on Tim Hook is because you're always doing something for other people. Never have I seen you say how great your agency is. Although I'm pretty sure it's pretty great,
Oh,
otherwise you
it's
wouldn't have those
true.
clients there. I'm
It's
pretty sure it's great.
true.
But
No,
truthfully, I could tell it's great though, because you're in a way you're demonstrating the marketing ability you have just by the way you approach people. That's like a demo anyway of the way you do things. So I think that HVAC companies and plumbing companies and electrical and roofing companies could think the same thing. How can we give a demo of our services, the way we operate inside of our community, the way we do things for people, the way we treat other people? That's a demo that you're giving about the way that your roofing company, your plumbing company, your heating, air conditioning, and electrical, how are we treating people? That's the wow. Like, I can't believe these people came to our event and donated all these guys to help us cook the food at the Thanksgiving dinner for the church or whatever type of thing, right? I can't believe, like, San Antonio, we have John Wayne Services. Every Veterans Day, all the trucks, they have like 150 trucks, drive around the 410 loop in one line with the American flags on each side of the trucks, honoring the American veterans, right? That's wow. Like, wow, look, they're on TV and everything. Another day for John Wayne Heating and Air on the 410 loop, expressing their gratefulness for the service. And then they do a it's all free. It's not even something that they're just doing it because they love veterans. And then next thing you know, they're on TV getting interviewed. Make sense? So I think that's what you got to think about that stuff, guys. How can you do what you feel for your community? If you don't do what you're feeling, if you have no feeling for your community, don't expect to be successful in that community.
He does is he teaches the most valuable team in your business. He'll just add nothing but profit.
There's so much money left in the call center. So much money. If you're not at a 90% booking rate, showing empathy on the phone, smiling on the phone, making sure they're having a better day after they got off the phone with you, then you need to call Power Selling Pros and see Brady.
Yeah, and this weirdly will increase your average ticket, right? Because there's an
Absolutely.
Element of belief,
trust,
and almost a little bit of like a movement. If your company is like representing customer service and kind of a movement in the community, you're more likely to get higher tickets because one, people will just expect, because the brand is respected, they'll expect a higher price. And then as time goes on, they'll want to refer you because there's a story there. And even if they don't say it to the person they refer you to, there's a story there of like why I would refer that company because they are in the community. You should really work with, you know, whoever it is.
Because they're in, if you're investing yourself in your community, the community will feel obligated to invest themselves back in you. And then they'll Google you. For a faster result, like you know what, yeah. I need to call that guy and just Google who we're going to figure out where he's at. How do I get a hold of these guys? And you just remember the name, or that's why the branding is so important. So you remember the image of the name. So as to who we're going to Google, that's really an important factor.
I told you what it was coming. I was going to pitch a little bit, but that's why we break out branded terms. If somebody's Googling the brand, we actually break that out separately and tell the client this came from a branded term. Because that technically is other work that you're doing, whether it's billboards or referrals or that type of thing. So we clarify. We also tell people if it's a Google ad or SEO. So we're trying to break things out and get clarity. Because you don't just want clarity about how many leads we have. We want to know where they all came from and if some of them were from searching the brand.
How can we duplicate it? Because if you think it all came from one element, then you start working on the wrong element. So that's true. So I would say if something happens good on accident, Tim, you can make it happen good on purpose. But you got to get down to how it happened to make sure that you can do. That's really what our whole program is built on. It's built on the decades of learning what doesn't work and what does work. And then I'm confident that what we have works because I've already failed with other things that don't work. So I can immediately tell you when things don't work just by listening to the way people say it to me. And I can tell when things are going to work. Make sense? And for you, Tim, I can always tell from the day I met you, it was going to work. What you're doing is going to work. I told you, I said, this is going to work, Tim. You're going to be a market influencer. Eventually you keep doing what you're doing. I told you that.
Thank you. Is there any other little tips that you'd suggest for people to increase their average ticket besides implementing systematic training systems and really focusing on that?
Well, I think diagnosing the whole system, not just the one problem. I think a lot of people understand this. The people who are winning and selling bigger average invoices, when I tell you about those average invoices being $2,000 to $2,400, it's because people are finding bigger problems. So if you're going to a call for a furnace that's got a bad igniter, well, then you're sitting right next to the sensor, the gas valve, and the burners. Why are we not offering that? And if you got that, what about the ductwork? You're saying the ductwork sealed up 100%? Ductwork's not sealed, why are we not sealing the ductwork? Why are we not replacing the ductwork? And how about a filter? You're sitting right next to that. So listen, if you just think about all the things, took an inventory of everything that was needed on the job, you know, the way your company would install it and say, this is not installed the way we would install. You could tell the difference right away. Then you say, what would it take to get this system up to par the way we would install a system? And then you just make options that would get the current system to enhance it to the point where it would be there. So for instance, if I was a roofing company, I'd say, well, is this how we would install a roof? Hell no. We would have done better underlayment. We would have had better ventilation. We would have had better drainage on this thing. So you would have said, we would have found a place for the drainage to go in a drainage field. Like all the things that you would do and say, hey, why are we not upgrading this customer to where they need to go? So in a way, there's a way that things are done in a kick-ass way that surprises people. Like to be a roofing contractor and you're saying, yeah, we're also going to dig a drainage field so you don't have a big puddle in your backyard that makes your foundation leak. So instead of having water leak through your foundation, we're going to have the water go to a drainage field that's 30 feet away from your building. That would be something that would be wow. Like, huh, I never thought about that. Yeah, that's what we're, how come no other roofer told me that?
Yeah.
Well, because they just aren't thinking, right? Yeah, Joe, instead of just putting a furnace in, we're going to put in new ductwork too on the return air and seal it airtight. How about this one? We remove all the ductwork and we go ductless. Every room of the house could have its own personal heating and air conditioning system. That would be a wow. Even in the state of Minnesota, people are doing that now, Tim. The people in a place like Minnesota, they're selling $79,000 heating and air conditioning systems because they're telling people we could have two things. Forced air inside the basement for a backup and ductless mini splits everywhere in the house for the primary heating source with a 12-year warranty, 12-year service membership, and an air scrubber to clean all the air too. They could have all that stuff for $79,000 or $397 a month for 15 years, if you want to do it that way. So that's a surprise. Like the $397 a month is a surprise. Cooling and heating every single room of the house separately is a surprise, right? So to stick with the same thing everybody else is doing, it's not going to increase the average invoice. Thinking about innovating things, that solutions that are here on the planet, and putting those solutions in place and believing in those solutions, that's what increases the sale, because the service provider truly believes that people would be more comfortable if they, each room had its own heating and air conditioning system, rather than going it the old way, taking the air from a second floor bedroom in Minnesota, dragging it through the house down to the basement, and then bringing it back up to their bedroom. It doesn't even make any sense when you say it out loud. Yet people are doing it all the time. So if you just think, what is the finest way we could do this? And then you would surprise your client. Huh, you give me 12 years of filters, pads, and bulbs with the filters? Yeah, it's all included for 12 years. So what should we do? You see what I'm saying there, Tim? So if a plumbing guy would say, hey, we give you a Wi-Fi connected shutoff valve at the main valve. If any pipes leak, it's going to shut the valve off and let you know what's leaking and where it's leaking. That would be a surprise. That'd be the wow service, right? A 5-year service membership with a repair call with a 5-year warranty on the repair. That would be a wow. Giving 6 options is a wow. Like, oh my gosh, the guy wrote up all these choices. Oh, you wrote up a choice for fixing it and replacing it? Wow, that's crazy. Nobody's ever done that for me. So the second you hear a customer say, Tim, you do realize that nobody's ever done this for me before, right? Then you're on the right track. That's how you know you're going to make the bigger. That's how the average ticket's going to increase, because you're simply doing things for people that nobody else has bothered to do. 10 people have walked right past that same opportunity, and your company is the one who is executing that opportunity instead of walking past it. That's it.
I love it. And I've got one last question for you on this piece of content. Alexander Tyner asks, I asked a lady, what should we do? And we've been staring at each other for 3 hours. How long do I wait?
Well, Alex is a good friend. I've known him for about 16 years now. He's worked at that company, the John Wayne company we talked about. He worked at that company in San Antonio, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So he's a good friend. What I would say is this, Alex, and he knows this better than any of these. That's a joke, but I will tell you this. He who talks first loses the sale. So if you say, what should we do? Next two words are shut up. Don't say a damn thing. And just wait it out and sweat it out. Eventually the client's going to say, aren't you going to say anything? And I'd say, I already said everything I could. So what should we do? And then wait again.
I like that. Alexander, shout out to you for that awesome question, because it will help us remember this. Wait after you say, what should we do? Okay. I love that.
I've heard thousands of people talk their way out of a job at that moment. And I've heard hundreds of thousands of people just get the job because they shut up instead. So there you go.
I love it. Thank you for joining, Joe. Where can people check you out online?
Just go to servicemvp.com if you'd like to, or just go to go to Amazon. You can get the book, What Should We Do? By Joe Crisera, either Audible. You can have a soft cover, hardcover, or Kindle. We have sold now over 5,000 books, Tim, and we're looking to sell 500,000 if we can. So you definitely need to spread the word. By the way, every single day we are having results come in. Go look at the testimonials. You'll see people up there talk about how much more they already sold just because they read the first 5 chapters of the book. So this book, it's the fastest way to get to increase your sales for a very small amount. So please take advantage of that. And I'm proud here to help you guys. Have a great one.
Awesome. Thank you. And the real way to increase your average ticket is to hire Service MVP. So don't get it twisted. This podcast is put on by HookAgency.com. Hook Agency all over social. Thank you guys for joining us.